This is a reading of the book by Rudolf Steiner, The Threshold of the Spiritual World. Aphorism 9, On the Nature of the Spiritual Worlds. If the soul enters the suprasensory world with suprasensory consciousness, it learns to know itself in a way that is inconceivable in the sensory world. Through its capacity for transformation, the soul discovers that it can perceive beings that are, to a greater or lesser degree, related to it. Likewise, it becomes aware that, in the suprasensory world, it encounters beings to whom it is not only related, but with whom it must compare itself if it is to learn about itself. The soul observes that through their suprasensory experiences, these suprasensory beings have become what the soul itself has become by means of its experiences in the sensory world. For the soul encounters beings in the elemental world who have developed powers and capacities that human beings can develop only because they have, in addition to their other bodies, a physical body. Elemental beings have no physical bodies, but they have developed in such a way that by means of their etheric bodies, their soul is similar to the human soul that is developed through the physical body. These supersensory beings are somewhat like human beings, but they differ from them in that they are not subject to the conditions of the sensory world. They have no senses of the kind human beings have. Their knowledge is similar to human knowledge, but they have not acquired it through the senses as we do, but by a kind of rising up of thoughts and other soul experiences from the depths of their nature. Their inner life also lies within them. They bring it up from the depths of their souls, just as human beings bring up memories from the depths of their souls. Thus, in the suprasensory world, we can learn to know beings who have become, in that world, what we can become in the sensory world. Even though they can be like human beings in the ways I have described, these beings nevertheless exist at a higher stage in the cosmic order than we do. They form a realm of reality above humanity, a higher hierarchy of the chain of beings. Despite some similarity, their etheric body differs from that of human beings. Whereas we are woven into the suprasensory life body of Earth through the sympathies and antipathies of our etheric bodies, neither these beings nor their psychical lives are bound to the Earth. If we observe what those beings experience through their etheric bodies, we shall find that they have experiences in their souls that are similar to our own. They have thinking. They have feelings. They have will. Through their etheric bodies, however, they develop something that human beings can develop only through their physical bodies, consciousness of their own being. As human beings, we would know nothing of supersensory existence if we did not bring the forces we develop through the physical body into the supersensory worlds. Supersensory consciousness learns to understand these beings by gaining the ability to observe with the help of the etheric human body. Supersensory consciousness raises the human soul into the world where those beings live and act. Not until the soul experiences itself in that world do the images or ideas that provide insight into those beings enter consciousness. For these beings do not participate directly in the physical world, and therefore they do not reach into the human physical body. Experiences that are possible only through the physical body do not exist for them. They are spiritual supra-sensory beings, who, one could say, do not set foot in the sensory world. If we do not observe the boundary between the sensory and the suprasensory worlds, we may force to enter our physical consciousness suprasensory images that are not true expressions of those beings. Those pictures arise through an experience of luciferic and aramonic beings. These are beings who are similar in nature to the suprasensory beings described previously, but who, in contrast to them, have shifted their field of life and action into the world that human beings can perceive through the senses. Through an experience with the guardian of the threshold, you can learn to pay proper attention to the boundary between the suprasensory and sensory worlds. You can then observe luciferic and aramonic beings from the suprasensory world with suprasensory consciousness. Then you will learn to recognize their true nature, and you will learn to distinguish them from the other spiritual beings who have remained within a field of activity appropriate to their nature. It is from this perspective that spiritual science must describe luciferic and aramonic beings. The nature of the luciferic beings indicates that their appropriate field of activity lies not in the physical world, but, as it were, in the elemental world. If out of the flood of images in the elemental world, images arise that penetrate the human soul, and if those images enliven the human etheric body without taking on an illusory existence in the soul, then luciferic beings can be present and active in those pictures without violating cosmic order. Ideally, luciferic beings act upon the human soul in a liberating way. They raise the soul in such a way that it is no longer simply interwoven with the sensory world. But if we allow the kind of life that the soul ought to unfold only in the elemental world into the physical world, if we allow our physical feelings to be influenced by antipathies and sympathies that should prevail only in the etheric body, then luciferic beings will gain an influence that is contrary to designs of cosmic order. Such luciferic influence is always present whenever in the sympathies and antipathies of the sensory world a kind of love is active that is not based upon compassion for the life of another sensory being. If you can love a person for the characteristics that he or she brings forth to meet you, then no luciferic element can mix into that love. Love that is founded upon qualities manifesting in sensory existence keeps its distance from the luciferic element. Love that is not grounded in the beloved in this way, but is instead grounded in the person of the lover, tends toward a luciferic influence. If you love someone because he or she has qualities toward which your nature, as the one who loves, tends, you love that person with the part of the soul that luciferic elements can approach. Consequently, we should never say that luciferic elements are always evil, because the human soul must love the processes and beings of the supersensory worlds luciferically. A contradiction to cosmic order occurs only when we direct toward the sensory world the kind of love that should instead draw us toward the supersensory world. A love for the supersensory rightly evokes in the loving being a heightened sense of self. But love sought in the sensory world for the sake of such an increased sense of self amounts to a luciferic temptation. Love of the spiritual, when sought for the sake of self, is freeing in its action. But love of the sensory, when it is sought for one's own sake, does not act to free. Rather, through the gratification of such love, such love seeks in the sensory world. Such love fetters the self. Aramonic beings become apparent in the thinking soul in much the same way that luciferic beings appear in the feeling soul. They chain thinking to the sensory world. They divert thinking from the reality that thoughts have meaning only when they appear as part of the great order of cosmic thought, which cannot be found in sensory existence. The aramonic element must exist in the world into which human soul life is woven. This element exists as a necessary counterweight to the luciferic element. Without the luciferic element, the soul would dream away its life, merely observing sensory existence and finding no reason to rise above it. Without the counteraction of the aramonic element, the soul would fall prey to the luciferic. It would give very little significance to, and have no desire to learn about, the sensory world, despite the fact that some of the conditions necessary for its existence are in that world. The Aramanic element acquires its proper meaning in the human soul when it leads to a life in the sensory world that is appropriate to the soul, when we accept the sensory world for what it is and forego everything in it that is of a transitory nature. Clearly, it is quite wrong to think that to avoid falling victim to the luciferic and Aramanic elements, one should eradicate them in oneself. For instance, if you rooted out the luciferic element within you, your soul would no longer strive for the suprasensory. Or if you were to destroy the Aramanic element, you could no longer give the sensory world its full significance. You can bring yourself into a proper relationship to these elements only by creating a proper counterbalance to each with the other. All the detrimental effects of these beings arise because they occasionally occur in an unrestrained form and are not brought into proper harmony through the counteracting force. The end of aphorism 9.